Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast,
a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional.
Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight.
And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son.
Your hosts,
Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, for episode 114. This one's titled, In Business, What's Love and Respect Got to Do with It? So we're making a little transition here today, and we'll do so for the next couple of episodes as my father, you, Dad, do quite a bit of preparing for some upcoming video content that you're doing with Right Now Media on Love and Respect. And business. And I know you've developed some stuff over the years regarding that, but I'm excited to, you know, hear about this because, you know, whether somebody's a business owner, an employer, or, you know, an employee, all levels, you know, of business, how we operate, you know, inside the workforce and many people work, I think is applicable here. And so I'm excited to kind of hear what you've have to say, because I've been around the love and respect message, you know, for most of my life, but, you know, particularly the marriage, as most people have. And so I haven't heard a lot of this content on how it applies to business. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say today. And we'll let you jump into that in just a second. Just a reminder to people, episode 113 last week was Why Confess Our Unloving and Disrespectful Comments. If you haven't got a chance to check that out, or all the other episodes, you can do that at loveandrespectpodcast.com. You can do that through our app, which seems to be quite popular for people to consume the material. You can do that through iTunes, et cetera, or find it on our blog. Lots of places to find it, and you can access to date all the episodes for free, going backwards. And many people go through them all, as we've mentioned. Just a few quick announcements for upcoming fall of 2016 things. We have a parenting conference in Ohio and a marriage conference in Troy, Michigan. So you can check those out on the website and register for those if you're in the area, although many people fly in from all parts of the country. So if you're interested in something like that, you can register on our website to do that, as well as Dad, you'll be in, I think, Dallas for the American Association of Christian Counselors, doing a symposium speaking to 1,500 professionals and counselors. So if you are a professional or a counselor and want to be a part of that, you can find that out. Probably the best place to do that would be AACC's website and register through there. Anything else you want to say about those announcements, Dad?
No, that's great. Yeah, no, we'd love to have those of you who have not come to a Love and Respect Marriage Conference, please consider the Troy one. And as he mentioned, Ohio is going to be the parenting conference and how that applies there. So we'd love to have those of you who have been part of our podcast group. It would be a joy to see you there and meet you and have you say, hey, we've been listening to the podcast and that's why we're here. That would be a real privilege for me to experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And so without further ado, let's jump into not necessarily part one, but kind of two episodes that we're going to do here on Love and Respect and Business, and maybe give us, you know, even the backstory of where, you know, where you are with this topic, you know, right now, even though I know it's been in the back of your mind, as I mentioned, and you've done some writing on it, you know, over the years, but there's going to be something kind of official, you know, being done here in the near future.
Right now, media, it's going to be distributed through 15% of the churches on the whole idea of the crazy cycle in business. And those of you who have been listening to the podcast know that the crazy cycle says, without love, she reacts without respect. And without respect, he reacts without love. And then without love, she reacts without respect. And without respect, and this baby starts to spin and it gets crazy. And we keep doing it. You know, and that's the definition of crazy that we've all heard. You know, insanity is you keep doing the same thing over and over again without any different results. And it's just kind of, you know, maddening. And but what's interesting, Sarah, your mother, my wife, has said that, you know, hey, God made us male and female. It isn't just a husband and wife issue. This is a gender issue, broadly speaking. And though men need love and women need respect. As we've pointed out, when you show disrespect to a woman week after week, she's going to say, I don't think you care about me as a human being. And when you show disrespect to a man week after week, if you're a woman, he doesn't say you don't have love. He doesn't process it, because all the charts reveal that women are nurturers by nature. They are the caregivers. Women love to love. Few men view women as unloving, but they don't think that the women like them or respect them. So you keep showing him disrespect, and he'll say, I don't deserve this disrespect. Everybody respects me but you. And so there is an interesting felt need difference during conflict. But as you mentioned on the business front, many people began to write to me about how this applies in business and how they had gotten on the crazy cycle with individuals of the opposite sex, and how they stopped the craziness by beginning to value the other person's vulnerability rather than dismissing them as childish when there was withdrawal and stonewalling, or whether there was an increase of criticism, complaint, that they began to decode differently. And then as we've been to different places, there was a small group of some very high-powered CEOs have listened to me. And one individual, Frank Newman, who was head of Eckert Drugstore for years as the CEO, he and I were chatting, and we were chatting about how this applies in business. And instead of the word love, we might replace that with the word care. But we were talking about the fact that without care, employees tend to react in ways that feel disrespectful to management. And when management feels disrespected, you know, they tend to react in ways that feel uncaring, unloving, however we want to, you know, state. In fact, Harvard Business Review just came out with an article on how love is the key to performance in the work arena, and making the point that many people feel very uncomfortable with that word love, and yet there's an emotional culture and people respond to affection and connection and what I call, you know, kind of the camaraderie of love and respect. And we're going to talk about the New York Giants football team, and I spoke to them, and very telling set of comments that Tom Coughlin gave when he stepped down as coach after 12 years. But there is this dynamic, and I say even during negotiations, it may be between management and employees and unions, and people push away from the table and are in a huff, and their spirits are deflated or they're provoked, and people say, look, this is a reasonable deal. What are they all upset about? Well, during the process, there was hostility and contempt shown toward the spirit of the person across the table. And when you show hostility and contempt toward the spirit of another person, you're going to get on the crazy cycle, and then you think, man, these people are unreasonable. This is a reasonable proposal. There isn't anything that's out of line here. We've made accommodations. Why are they walking? Well, because there was a breakdown in that emotional culture, that hostility that came across at times, the contempt. And if you don't apologize for that, or if you don't make gestures that counter that, you're going to be clueless. And as we say, you know, the issue is no longer the issue. The topic on the table is no longer really the topic. The issue is these people are feeling, you know, offended. And good leaders sense that, and they make adjustments quickly. And employees who overstep also make adjustments to that. You cannot act and react in these unloving and disrespectful ways in the business arena and expect the culture to be a positive one. And I am absolutely convinced that the performance is adversely affected based on that, that we're going to see with the New York Giants. They won the Super Bowl 2 times, and there's more to just that clear and compelling mission. There's more than just the, you know, clearly defined tasks and the assigned task and the personal and consistent accountability and even, you know, great rewards and benefits and sensible, you know, wages for the players. And you can have a ton of talented individuals, but the bottom line is if they feel that you don't care about them, you're going to lose them. And I was just talking with a man recently who was making millions. Tens of millions for this company, and he left them and took his business with him because the bottom line is they didn't care anymore. They didn't care for him, and they communicated it indirectly. They didn't care for the staff, and he appealed to them for 4 years. And then when he says, we're exiting, he did his due diligence, went with another major corporation and brought over all that business. That company that he left was now saying, hey, what can we do for you? And he said, it's too late. And you cannot expect good people to stay with you long term. You can succeed as a business short term if you're a leader here in a company, but you won't long term. You cannot violate these principles and expect for success. So that's kind of the introduction, Jonathan. Does anything arise by way of a question based on what I've said thus far?
Not a direct question at this point, but I think that, as you indicated, you know, I've heard over the years people who came to the conference or whatever, right, and they began to apply it with their children or their friends, or in this case, countless examples of people saying they applied it at the, you know, in the workplace as well, whether with a boss or an employee, or, you know, whether from a male to a female or a female to a male, and the stories that, you know, people give back as they, you know, as they talk about, you know, these, you know, ideas of how am I being, you know, interpreted, right? And you know, all these phrases that we use in marriage, you know, my response is my responsibility, and you know, without love, right, somebody react. I mean, it's powerful stuff. And so I hope people find this meaningful. I'm assuming, you know, most of our audience, you know, works, whether an employee or an employer.
Exactly. In our next podcast, we're going to deal with the overlay. You've got the management employee dynamic that we've talked about, without care, you know, employees react without respect, and then without respect, employers react without care. And this thing gets crazy, as we pointed out. But then you have an overlay here. What if you're a male employer with, you know, manager with female employees? Or what if you're a female manager with male employees? And what's the dynamic between the male manager and his male employees and the female manager and the female employees? And there's an interesting dynamic, and people can take advantage of each other. And we're going to look at that in our next podcast because it's absolutely fascinating. But let's begin then with, what's love and respect got to do with it? Jonathan, would you read some of these first several paragraphs, especially about the New York Giants?
I had the privilege of speaking to the New York Giants football team about love and respect and relationship years back, so I was attentive to what Tom Coughlin, the coach, said when he resigned several years later after a 12-year run. In front of former and present players and family and friends, Tom reflected, so the reporter wrote, not simply on two Super Bowl trophies he had won at the helm, but at the hundreds of relationships he built along the way. He fought back his own tears and caused his quarterback to do the same. Evidence of an atmosphere thick with appreciation, with affection, and with love. Manning, chin quivering and nostrils flaring, held himself together, but only barely. Sad to his core that speeches like the one Coughlin delivered Tuesday are no longer a scheduled part of his life, he reminded us that there are real human beings behind those helmets. It was hard not to be moved by Coughlin's words. As mission statements go, Coughlin delivered a strong one. Winning, losing, playing hard, playing well, doing it for each other, winning the right way. Winning the right way is a very, very important thing to me and all of our coaches. That's what motivates and inspires us. Championships are won by teams who love one another, who love and respect one another, who play for and support one another.
And there it is. This, I spoke to them, I think, in 2010. And in 2006, he kind of had a mutiny almost on his hands. One of the superstars left because the culture of love and respect wasn't there. And Tom, this great genius of a strategist, I had an opportunity to speak to him and four other coaches and their spouses in Florida for about a 3-hour event. And he and I engaged. And as a result of that, he invited me to come speak to the New York Giants. But this application that he made of love and respect, and here it is, championships are won by teams who love one another, who love and respect one another. And even Eli was even asked one time after the championship, I remember seeing it on the news, that we love and respect each other. And so this is an odd thing, but it shouldn't be odd, because there's more to it than just putting the ball through the goalposts and scoring touchdowns, more than, you know, the X's and O's. That has to be there. All the great teams have to perform well on the field. But there is this esprit de corps. There is this, what I call, the love and respect among comrades. We're not Russians, but it's a great way of saying it. There's got to be a love and respect. And it doesn't mean you have to be best of buddies. But there is something going on. And every manager should know this. Every leader, he has a handful of individuals that he hangs out with, that he jokes with. They tell their stories. They're laughing. They're high-fiving it. There's more to this than just the, you know, the bottom line, your costs and your income. There is this culture of love and respect. And if it's there, You know, and I would say that there are many teams that had more talent and so on and so forth. But when you have an undercurrent of hostility and contempt that begins to evolve on a team or in an organization, you're sabotaging your success. And you can't really fake this. It can't be a pseudo thing. People are going to see between the lines very quickly that this is false stuff. You're going to just try to act caring. Now, there's got to be a moment of reflection. Certainly, many said Tom Coughlin went into a reflection as a result of some of the 2006 issues and began to make adjustments because he did have a good heart. And he said, you know, I've made mistakes. I've got to do this differently. And look what happened 2 Super Bowls later, because there's more to it than just that proficiency. There is this clear commitment to care about people and respect people. So, Jonathan, continue reading, if you would.
Think about it. Are there several people in the company with whom you interact and have a sense of camaraderie and friendship? Do you feel they are there for you during tough moments? Bottom line, do you feel like they care about you? Care comes close to love. We might refer to it as love and respect among comrades, like you mentioned. My dad was a yardmaster. Your dad, my grandpa, was a yardmaster on the railroad. There were several men he worked with for a couple decades. One was Charlie Ellis, who later in life got gangrene and had to have both legs amputated. My dad cared for Charlie, as did Charlie for Dad. We'd go see Charlie in the wheelchair and tell stories of how they used to do on the railroad. Later in Charlie's life, my dad was so burdened for Charlie's spiritual life that he asked me to talk to Charlie about Christ and asked Charlie if he was interested. Charlie was, and I led him to Christ. My dad cried. As for them working together, their love and respect as comrades made the work at the railroad enjoyable instead of just tolerable. The railroad top brass could not have cared less about my dad's relationship with Charlie, but my dad's hard work each night with Charlie was due to the teamwork they had and the laughter they shared. They were there for each other. They cared for each other. Call it what you will, love is not a bad word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember going to see Charlie quite a bit. They just had story after story. And there was that camaraderie. And Dad worked nights at the railroad. He'd be considered blue collar. He did become the yard master eventually. But all those years, up and down, the trains would come through and they would set them up in, you know, all the different directions they'd go. It was Minneapolis-St. Louis for years, and then Chicago Northwestern bought them out. And so you see very clearly there's always more to these situations than just the bottom line issues or the way the boxcars are going to be directed. If you'd continue, that'd be great.
I predict if you enjoy working at the place that employs you, you have camaraderie and friendship at a level that is meaningful to you. You may not do things outside of work, but you spend 8 hours a day together, and that relationship consists of more than just business. I can tell you this, when a company is succeeding, there is almost always a sense of love and respect among the comrades. Employees feel that there are people in the company that care about them and respect them as persons. It takes more to succeed than love and respect. A company must have a clear and compelling mission, talented and experienced people, defined and assigned tasks, personal and consistent accountability, sensible wages and profits, and quality products and services. But will they have long-term success when the organization has an undercurrent of hostility and contempt?
No, it will not. There has to be that sense of camaraderie from the belief that people care about us and respect us. And as with the New York Giants, as with all successful organizations, you cannot violate this. And that's why I think the athletes are such a great example, because when they have that camaraderie, along with everything else clearly defined, you know, they're going to win. There is no question. And companies that are not winning and have everything in line, you know, all their ducks are in order, and they're saying, you know, why is this not working? Well, you know, I mean, isn't it interesting, Jonathan, we even have terms like hostile takeover or contempt of court. There are certain things that we use by way of terminologies that illustrate that there are these attitudes that we can display within an organization. And when people are nervous, you know what, you really don't care about me. You really don't. And that is going to undermine the effectiveness that we bring to the table. Now, it doesn't mean, and I was talking to one gentleman, a great leader and great organization, you know, I said, that doesn't mean that love and respect avoids toughness. This is not being syrupy. If you're a manager, it doesn't mean that because you care, you're just going to give in to everything. No, absolutely not. You got to be tough. In fact, this one guy said, I told my staff this week, you're going to buck up. you're going to buck up and we're going to do that. I'm in charge here. We're going to go the way of this decision. I know you don't agree with this. I said, yeah, but here's what I'm going to ask you. Have you made a whole lot of deposits in them with care and concern and love that allowed you to make that withdrawal? He said, that's the metaphor. Bingo, that's it. I said, yeah. So, I mean, here's the deal. You don't give in. I mean, you got to lead and you got to make the hard decisions. But have you been making these deposits in their emotional bank account? Many relationships emotionally bankrupt because we haven't been making those deposits. And then you come down to that moment where you make the hard decision and you do it in a way that people just feel like this is insult to injury. You haven't cared about me all along. You really don't respect who I am. And now you're hammering us by telling us, we will do this and we will do it my way. And there's a Gestapo mindset. And then people think, you know, they don't follow my leadership. Well, that's right, but not on this particular decision. You could be right. But your attitude is quenching people. At the end of the day, these are human beings, not human doings. And they are people who need to be cared for as human beings. And you don't have to agree with them, and it doesn't mean that you keep them on board. You fire people, but you can do it with love and respect. And also recognize that what goes around comes around. Some people change later on. You might want to rehire them. Don't burn bridges. But you can be very caring, very respectful as you point out to people that there is not a good fit here. And we need to bring our relationship to an end. But you don't have to do it in a way that's hostile. You know, I talked to one MBA team, and you know, there's turnover all the time. But why have they created a culture there that is pretty positive? Because they know how to sever people in a way that is honoring to them. And they also recognize that other players are perhaps going to be with you on that other team. And lo and behold, we may need you back again. So we're not burning any bridges here because we believe in you. But you understand the X's and O's here, and we got to do what we got to do to win championships. And right now, this is not the best fit. We don't hate you. We don't have contempt toward you. In fact, we'd really like for you to come and work for our organization after your career ends. It's that kind of mindset that you can bring to the table and be authentic with that. And you're not going to make enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts from that, Jonathan?
No, I find it fascinating, and I trust the listeners, you know, are as, you know, as well. This is rich stuff, and I think, as I've indicated in a number of podcasts, and such a large organization as something like the military, you know, which I worked for 4 years, maybe a, you know, poor example, but, you know, we talked about this a number of times, never saw somebody say they were sorry or seek forgiveness. And while there were, you know, particular, smaller, you know, settings, whether in a clinic or, you know, whether as part of a team where somebody might, you know, create that. I mean, there was just this, idea or this feeling within the, you know, chain of command. Did people, you know, have our best interests, you know, at heart? Did people really, you know, care about us? And people towed the line, I guess, in a respectful way based on, you know, fear and consequences. There was often this feeling of, as you just described it, right? I mean, you know, no care, you know, no respect. And people, you know, resisted it, but, you know, maintained, you know, the company line, because it was a job and it was a paycheck and, you know, they needed to put in their 20 years. Now that wasn't across the, you know, board, but I certainly witnessed that. And I'm sure other large organizations experience that as well, right? Nobody feels like anybody cares.
Well, and that's exactly right. And that's why we lose great people. If you create a bureaucracy and you don't understand, you know, what good quality people need, they're going to work because they want to be part of a vision. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves. The defense of the country, the sense of loyalty and honor of the flag, and this willingness to sacrifice and serve. And you begin to bring your politics into this, and you begin to train people along a certain political agenda that we see right now, you're going to lose a whole lot of good people, and then you have the audacity to somehow place the blame on them. And that's the kind of thing that takes place, and bureaucracies need to, you know, understand that. But part of the problem there, too, is, and I've said before, I call it the three T's. When your organization makes its money through the tithe, through taxes, and you know, through with government, church, and academia, tuition. There was it slipped me right there. The three T's that bureaucracy comes about, because bottom line is unimportant. It's process. and then bureaucracies form in that. There's not the kind of accountability, and you lose something in those systems. And that's why it's so important that we understand how vital this idea of love and respect is. And if you start as an organization showing hostility and contempt toward people in the congregation, toward, you know, students, toward, you know, people who are, you know, civilians, it is a real turnoff. And that's one of the challenges for all organizations. And we can see, and we've all experienced, you know, the downside of that when people treat us like we are non-entities. But Jonathan, I want to kind of begin to wrap this up, but there's both a positive emotion and a negative emotion in every organization. And would you read those two ideas here?
In every organization, there is emotion. That emotion will be positive or negative. People feel positive emotion when they feel the leadership and others care about who they are and respect them for who they are. When people feel loved because others care about them and feel respected, there is a positive emotion. They feel an affection and feel connected. They feel part of something. There is a sense of belonging to the group that seeks to achieve some mission. Performance and productivity increase with a person who feels others really care and respect them. Truth is, research has proven this, which common sense tells us anyway. Read Harvard Business Review, and this is the title, Employees Who Feel Love Perform Better. People feel negative emotion when they feel the leadership and others do not care about who they are and do not respect them for who they are. When people feel unloved because others do not care about them and feel disrespected, there is a negative emotion. They do not feel an affection or connected. They do not feel part of something. There is no sense of belonging to the group that seeks to achieve some mission. Performance and productivity decreases with a person who feels nobody really cares or respects them. This is human nature. Mm-hmm.
And that's why when that NBA team, the president and the coach called me down to address their culture of honor and respect, they had a major player who just left because he felt disrespected. And they, there were players coming into the president's, you know, office, men's men, I mean, almost crying because they felt like no one cared about them and they wanted out. And these were some seasoned players who were part of the DNA of that organization, but they exited. And these things cannot be violated. You can't, you know, just pretend this isn't the case. And we need to look in many of these professional sport teams to learn from them. Why is it that they're able to succeed? Those that succeed have a lot of care and respect. But you talk about somebody that's tough, they're really tough. There's a no-nonsense, but there's a genuine care. And that's why they can make those withdrawals at moments, because they're making the earlier deposits. So are you a leader? Please consider this message of love and respect and how it applies in your company. And are you an employee? It doesn't just come from the top down. Many of the players on teams can change the culture by the way they love and respect those around them. And I don't want you to lose sight of that. You have power. You do your job with excellence and carry yourself with love and respect and watch what happens. I know there's a professor at Harvard who has written a book that deals with respect and an exploration of it. And she talks in this at great length about the power that we have, even if we are in a quote subservient position, to influence the hearts of other people. And that's the point that the Bible is making as well. There are individuals who are in situations where it doesn't seem to be fair, it doesn't seem to be just, and they feel, you know, I'm impotent. No, you're not. You can, over a period of time, through your demeanor, through the way you carry yourself, your attitude, you begin to influence people. Why? Because there's more power with love and respect than there is with that chart that defines the lines of authority. And you need to have confidence that at the end of the day, it's character that influences much of what goes on in an organization and not just the lines of authority. And you need to have that confidence. Well, Jonathan, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I appreciate those broad, you know, brush strokes. And I'm excited about, you know, whether it's in the, you know, product that you're producing in the next, you know, coming months, or getting into some of the specifics and, you know, other episodes of, you know, how do I deal, you know, with a difficult, you know, boss, you know, in a loving and respectful way. And maybe that's even some of what we're, you know, doing next week. But whether it is or isn't, why don't you maybe set the stage for what, you know, next episode we'll be kind of going over as you extend this topic.
Well, we're going to look at the management employee dynamic, but then break it down into the male manager over the male employee, the male manager over the female employee, and the female manager over the male employee, and the female manager over the female. It's a quadrant. If you just have at the top, you know, boss, and then you have male and female over two of those columns, and on the left side you have male and female, you can see it, male to male, and there's an interaction there. There's not only the manager toward the employee, but also the employee toward the manager, and we're going to look at that in our next session. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't have anything else due for today.
No, I can close in prayer and we can say goodbye to our friends. Father, we just acknowledge our excitement about the power of love and respect. It really does carry along almost every relationship. So often, people who leave a team, I think of Dwayne Wade leaving Miami Heat and signed his letter with love and respect. And even though there are differences of opinion, there is this recognition that this captures the essence of the relationship with love and respect. It's how I sign all my letters, with love and respect. It resonates with all of us that these, at the end of the day, are the two key ingredients. And I pray that those who are leaders in organizations would be reminded of this, and those who are employees would be reminded of this, and that we would put a check on our spirit when we're reacting in ways that the other feels is nothing short of hostility and contempt. It absolutely will undermine our job situation. There's no question about that. So thank you again for this reminder today, and may we go from here with a renewed sense of commitment to be this kind of person, regardless if others treat us that way. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.